wife, which was the mayoralty campaign of General Sessions Judge Jonah Goldstein, on a fusion ticket, that is, Republican and liberal, for the mayoralty of New York in 1945. I became a research director of Judge Goldstein's campaign. And parenthetically, that was not only the beginning of my political life, in an active sense, though I'd been a member of the Ivy Republican Club, LaGuardia's own political club since 1932, as LaGuardia was my principal reason for being a Republican in a revulsion against the corrupt Tammany Hall system of New York City, of which my own father was a minute captain in a tiny area and actually distributed to the tenants of the tenement buildings in which he was the janitor, the $2 or $3 per vote, which was handed out to him by Tammany Hall's primary captain in the area, who was a saloon keeper named Porges, P-O-R-G-E-S. Indeed, as I remember as a child, accompanying my father to Porges' saloon, which was at the corner of Rivington and Allen Street, and seeing that rather a dried-up old man, a typically Irish politician, with his derby, black derby, tilted back on his forehead, wearing not a jacket but a vest, like a faro dealer, and counting out for my father the necessary money which it would take to gain the votes of the tenants of the three tenement houses that my father janitored. Anyhow, coming back to 1945, Mayor LaGuardia, for some incomprehensible reason, instead of throwing his weight behind Judge Goldstein's fusion ticket, chose to challenge it on his own through his own chosen successor, Newbold Morris, subsequently himself a fusion candidate for mayor, and resulted in bringing about the defeat of Judge Goldstein and the victory of Bill O'Dwyer, who then became mayor of New York. Some 2 or 3 years later, I met Fiorello LaGuardia in the House of Representatives, where I was then serving. Sitting on a bench, rather taking in the scene, but not participating too much, and not being recognized particularly by many of the members. It must be remembered that at this time, and by the way, he sat on the Republican side, on the benches on the Republican side. It must be remembered that by this time, the Republicans had a majority in the 80th Congress. That is 1947 and 1948 in the House, and that majority was largely attributable to some 80 veterans of World War II, like myself, who had been newly elected in 1946 in the reaction against the meat rationing and other remains of war, which President Truman was considered to be responsible for. At that time, the mayor told me about his feelings respecting the mayoralty. He felt that he had accomplished some things in the mayoralty and given New York a new image in the country, which especially pleased him. And he kind of gave me the feeling that he'd hoped that he had made a good impression on his colleagues in the House and justified the fact that he left the House in order to go to the mayoralty of New York. And he said that the House of Representatives was his first love, that very often he had hoped that he would remain there throughout his life, that he found those his most satisfying personal years, and that he'd really felt that he burned himself out, these are his exact words, in the mayoralty of New York City, and many, many years, as there were various inducements and strong feelings on my part respecting running for mayor of New York. I've always remembered that personal experience of Fiorello LaGuardia. And indeed, it wasn't more than a year or two after that that he passed away early in his 60s. Well, back to the election of 1945, as I've already indicated, Jonah Goldstein was defeated. But I had come out of the campaign very credibly, done a good job in my particular role of research director, and also undertook toward the latter end of the campaign a certain amount of strategy, advice, and speech writing. And I had made close friendships with the two principal representatives of the parties that backed Jonah Goldstein, Alex Rose of the Liberal Party and Blank of the Republican Party, and had come to the notice of the politicians in both parties as an attractive and interesting possibility for political life. Opportunities to go further were quick to come. The ensuing year, 1946, was a year of the election for Congress. President Truman was having very considerable difficulties in the country, bringing about the readjustment to a post-war situation, both in terms of rationing and in terms of pulling our troops out of Europe. And though New York City is traditionally a Democratic city, and a Democratic mayor had just been elected after three terms for LaGuardia, who was at least nominally a Republican, the prospects for congressional races looked good, especially for veterans of World War II. I first considered a race on the Lower East Side of Manhattan, where I was born, but after testing the water in that area, decided that that would be much tougher than other places, though I realized that I would have to run, if I did at all, in an area which was traditionally Democratic. In the course of the mayoral campaign, I 45, I had struck up a rather good friendship with a man named Samuel Lepler. I'll strike that out. I had struck up a good friendship with a man named Arthur Schwartz, who was then counsel for the State Republican Party. Early in the spring of 1946, Arthur Schwartz called me to his office and introduced me to Samuel Lepler, who was one of the Republican leaders in the area of Washington Heights in Manhattan, and was looking around for a suitable candidate who could really make a successful bid for the congressional seat in that area, which consisted of Washington Heights, an area roughly strung along the Hudson River, roughly from West 137th Street to West 191st Street, and inward, which continued from there on to the end of Manhattan Island, a district of about 350,000 people, with a blend almost equally divided between Protestants, Jews, and Catholics. The Protestants residing in the lower end of the district, the Jews in the central Washington Heights part, and the Catholics in the upper Inwood part. I did not mention that the lower part started at West 110th Street in the Hudson River and went up to West 137th Street and included Columbia University, the Union Theological Seminary, the Jewish Theological Seminary, the Riverside Church, Juilliard School of Music was then located there, and a whole constellation of outstanding cultural and educational institutions, indeed a unique area in all of New York City from that point of view, and therefore very congenial to me. The Liberal Party had by then broken away from the American Labor Party, which was charged to be communist-oriented, and then dominated by Vito Marcantonio, a very controversial figure in New York City politics in those years. But the Liberal Party at that time had no place on the ballot, and it was necessary to go out and get petitions signed by citizens for an independent candidacy, which then required 10,000 valid signatures, with many technicalities and pitfalls incident to qualification, in order to get on the ballot and with the permission of the Liberal Party to use their party label as the valid insignia. Sam Lepper and I realized that I wouldn't have a prayer in a district which had not gone Republican for 25 years preceding 1946 in winning as a Republican, and that I had to have and was entitled to, considering my views and what I proposed to advocate if elected, the Liberal Party designation as well. So the first step was to win Alex Rose to this plan. He was very amenable to the idea, but pointed out that I would have to win the local organization, which was then headed by a lawyer, a fine, intelligent man named Morris Shapiro. Indeed, his wife, Rose Shapiro, later became a very prominent member of the Board of Education of the City of New York. I then proceeded along two lines, being assured of the designation on the Republican side, though not the nomination, but of course that could be taken care of by the party machinery, but I'm also being assured of the Liberal Party designation, but not the nomination, and that was a much tougher job of bringing in the necessary petition signatures. The signers had to be citizens who had not signed any other petition, either for one of the major parties or any other petition for an independent candidate for Congress. And there were many other detailed qualifications which made great care essential. At that particular moment, too, it appeared that the congressman who had represented the district for years, blank, would not stand for re-election, and that instead he would be, the Democratic Party nominee would be an assemblyman named Flynn. And I already began to hear murmurings respecting Flynn's understanding of the issues, and especially murmurings as to his views on issues which the Jewish constituents were very deeply interested in, which were how Germany and the liquidation of the Nazi terror would be handled, and second, what compensation the victims of Nazism, thousands of whom lived in the district, would receive, and to what extent the United States government would participate in saying that they received proper reparations. Let it be remembered that not only were their lives taken, the lives of their close kin in the Nazi barbarism, but Jewish properties were completely and absolutely confiscated. Paragraph. The second line get from both the Republicans and the Liberal Party leaders a complete list of the people who could have some influence in the area. Let it be being recognized that I had just returned from the war,